You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Again, grateful for what God has done. 45 years. Though it's not difficult for me to remember the birth of ICS because I'm 1 year older than ICS, right? So it's not difficult for me. So the length of time that this church has been in existence has been the length of time of my life, pretty much. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the 40 plus years that I've lived. And I'm grateful for how this church has continued to be in existence, not just in this place, but through the lives of the people that we have reached here and around the world. That one time was just a dream, but we're grateful today that we are able to experience that. And all of that is because of the partnership that we have had from the very beginning. The reason why this church existed was because people partnered together with individuals who said, you know, I'm called to the Philippines. I'm going to go there to tell the people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I will pray for you. I will financially support you. I will send you. And Paul Clark came here together with his wife, started a Bible study in Makati City that grew to become ICS Church. 45 years later, here we are. We're continuing to celebrate the faithfulness of God, not just in Greenfield, but in many places and through the many people that have been discipled, raised up, and sent out from ICS Church. We believe that God's call for us continues today to inspire people to follow Jesus by loving God, loving people, making disciples, and sending disciples to influence every sphere of life for the kingdom of God. Love, disciple, and send. We believe that God continues to call us to do that as He has done from the very beginning when He gave the Great Commission to those who would be His disciples. This past month, we've been doing a series called Greater. And today's message is entitled Greater Works. It's our belief that God continues and wants to see greater works to come out of the church at ICS. Right relationships accomplish great things. Right relationships accomplish great things. If we don't have right relationships, it's going to be very hard to do anything, let alone do great things. So it starts by having a right relationship. Now, how many of you guys are fans of basketball? You know a bit of basketball history? Yep. Are there anybody here in the room? Any basketball fans? No basketball fans. One basketball fan. Two basketball fans. Wow. Wow. Okay. Either it's too dark and you think I can't see you, or you're just really not basketball fans. But when I was younger, there was a dynamic duo in the basketball world, particularly in NBA. I mean, when you talk about basketball, every country has their own different leagues, but the global basketball is known as the National Basketball Association in the USA. And when I was younger, about college, high school, there was a dynamic duo by the name of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. These guys were a dynamic duo. This was a real relationship. It was a right relationship that accomplished amazing things. Because in their team up, together with the rest of their teammates in the Chicago Bulls, they were able to secure multiple championships for this franchise in the time that they were together. That's a result of having a right relationship. Right relationship. It's the same thing in marriages. For those of you who've been married for several years, quick survey. How many of you guys here have been married for more than 1 year? More than 1 year. People are like, wait, is that me? Right? More than 1 year. So those of you who are married, obviously more than that. Anybody here married for more than 10 years? More than 10 years. Yeah, I'm going to keep my hands raised. More than 20 years. my hand's going to go down. More than 20 years, amazing. More than 30 years, anybody here more than 30 years? Wow, those hands are still up. That's awesome. Can we give an applause to these guys, more than 30 years? That is amazing. But you know, there are people who have been married happily for more than 70 years, 70, right? We're currently watching a series right now about the royal family in the United Kingdom. That's the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, and Prince Philip. They've been married for 73 years. Prince Philip is 99 years old, and the Queen is in her 90s as well. That's amazing. That's amazing. In a time, in a season, in an era where, you know, people treat one another just kind of, even in marriages, not really wanting to make those commitments, there are people still in the world today who are going to say, I'm going to make this commitment until I die. Because that's what you do as a Christian when you make that commitment before God. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death us do part. That's one of the promises that we make to one another. And that's all about having a right relationship. You're able to accomplish amazing things, whether it's in marriage, it's in our sports teams, it's in business, right? In relationships, even in church. All of that is important by having a right relationship. But the big idea for us today is this: a right relationship with God is what enables us to do greater works. This is the key for us today. As a Christian, as a church, a right relationship with God is what will enable us to do greater works. And you say, why greater works? Because this is what God wants to accomplish in our life. This is what God wants to do through us, through those who would be His disciples. Don't take my word for it. These are the words of Jesus Himself. John, who was a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, wrote this down when Jesus was here on earth. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus speaks. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Wait, Pastor Chad, he's saying greater things. It says there that Jesus says that we will do the works that he does. And not just the works that he does, we're also going to do greater works than what he has already done. Come on, Pastor Chad. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. How can we do the works that he does? And how can we even do greater works than what he's already done? Well, we're going to learn that today. That's what we want to find out. It may not be what you think. Whatever it is, just listen in. If you're online, if you're here in the room, listen in. What kind of works does Jesus expect us? And when he says greater works, what does he actually mean? He says, I am going to the Father, and because of this, these things will be accomplished. Now let's explain that. When he says, you're going to do the works that I do, he's talking about the message and the miracles that he did when he was here. When Jesus was here on earth, he talked about the kingdom of God. He preached the good news. He said, the kingdom of God is here, and you need to come to faith in him. At the same time, whilst he was here, he performed miracles, healing, signs and wonders followed him. So when he says, you're going to do the works, he was talking about the message and miracles that was going to come out of our lives as we follow Jesus Christ. Now we know from the time that the church was born and disciples started following Jesus Christ, that has continued on up to the present time. The message that Jesus gave the disciples was the message they took with them from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's the reason why it reached us here in the Philippines, because followers of Jesus obeyed him all the way to our islands, bringing the message and allowing miracles to be lived out, signs, wonders, and miracles to those who believe in Jesus Christ. So when he says doing these works, Jesus expects us, if we follow him, signs, wonders will follow those who walk in obedience to what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Secondly, when he talks about greater works, it's not doing greater things when Jesus Christ has already done. It's not dying on the cross again For man's sin, no, that only happens once. Jesus has already done that. No one can do that beyond what Jesus has already done. His payment for our sins is once and for all. Even the best person in the world cannot outdo what Jesus Christ has already done. The most righteous, the most holy cannot go beyond what Jesus Christ has done in paying for the sins of all humanity so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father could be restored. Jesus' work was complete. It was once and for all, and it was sufficient for our salvation. So what he's talking about here is the scope and scale of the works of Jesus Christ. Now, if we would go back to the Gospels and recall what Jesus did, when he was on earth, do you remember when Jesus started to preach and to minister? Where did he preach and minister? Did he come to the Philippines? Did he go to the United States of America? Do you know how far Jesus went? The furthest he went was Galilee. This was a suburb. This was outside of Jerusalem. It wasn't even a city. And eventually, he did go to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. But he never left the nation of Israel. He never went beyond Israel. He didn't even was able to go outside of the Roman Empire that Israel was under. The scope of Jesus' ministry was confined to the nation of Israel, and it wasn't even the entire nation. It was in Jerusalem, mostly Galilee, parts of Samaria, and that was it. That was it. What about the scale? At least from what we can understand in the Gospels, the largest audience that Jesus ever preached to numbered about 10,000. And that is recorded of the feeding of the 5,000. This is considering that it only counted the men. So multiply that by two, probably say there was about 10,000 on the Sermon on the Mount, 10,000 where Jesus performed those miracles. Today, what has happened in the 21st century? The scope of the message of the works of preaching the gospel has gone globally. Through technology, we're able to preach, to sing, to declare the good news of Jesus Christ, not just on TV, but on the internet and around the world. As transportation was made accessible, as technology became more accessible, people who were followers of Jesus Christ took this, and wherever they went, brought the good news, the good news of the gospel. And so the scale of the works was definitely greater than when Jesus was on earth. This is what Jesus was talking about when he says, you will do the works that I do, and you will do even greater works than what I've already done. It's not a superhuman ability. No, it was things that he was doing. He showed to us, he taught his disciples by example, and he was saying, you're going to do the same thing I'm doing, but your scope and scale is going to be bigger. Because there were things that are going to happen that you don't even know about when Jesus was saying this here on earth. And so today, until Jesus returns, this remains our mandate. This remains our task as a church. Can you turn to the person beside you and tell them, that's your assignment. Come on. That's your assignment. Turn to the other side and tell them, that's your assignment. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you belong to the body of Christ, the church, big church. And that's our assignment until Jesus returns again. Those of you who are at home, you're watching, and you are a follower of Jesus. It's the same thing. It is not a physical location that we do what we do. It is following and obeying Jesus Christ that we're able to do greater works and greater things in this season. So how do we do that? How do we do that? We said it earlier. A right relationship with God enables us to do greater works. So how do we have a right relationship? See, everybody can be in a relationship, but not all relationships are right. Not all relationships are right. You may be in a relationship right now, and it's probably not right. There's a reason why some relationships do not last. Because wrong motives, wrong values, they don't agree, there's nothing common about them. Of course, you know, mutual attraction. He's handsome, she's beautiful, you're attracted to one another, but then the moment you get to know each other, you realize there's nothing in common about us, so we don't last. Some try to force that, and so they get married, and they realize, you know what, it's still not working, and they end up separating and divorcing. It's true with our business partners, right? You start off a business venture, you come into partnership, and you realize our values are different, even with business practices. And so at some point, you separate. You either buy them out, or they just say, you know what, we just have to separate ways because we are not getting along in terms of goals and ambitions and directions in business practice. It's sad today because sometimes, even in church, in our relationships with one another, there are some things that we don't agree with and we end up separating. So how do we do that? If a right relationship is key, it has to begin with God. If we're going to accomplish great things, it has to begin with God. Man can accomplish a lot. Remember the Tower of Babel? This is man's ability, man's skill, man's talent without God. And they were able to accomplish much, but it wasn't God glorifying. Man has done so many things in science and technology, but unless it points to God, it will not last. So the first thing we need to do is to have a right relationship with God, and this requires faith. Do you have faith today? Do you have faith in God that He has a purpose for your life? Do you have faith that the things that you are doing right now is in alignment with His purposes in your life personally? Your faith will determine how you lead your life. Your faith will determine what you do with your time, your talent, your treasure, how you address the relationships in your family, how you lead your businesses, how you treat one another in the church, even strangers. Your faith, our faith, determines these things. Jesus, in speaking to the disciples here in John chapter 14, tells them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." He just told them that he was about to go away from their presence. And so they were troubled. They were disturbed. And he said, hey, guys, take heart. Don't be afraid. Don't lose hope. Don't lose peace. If you believe in the Father, if you have faith in him, can you also believe in me? Why should we believe in you, Jesus? Again, remember, here when Jesus was speaking this, he had not yet died and resurrected. He says, if you want to know God, it's the same thing as knowing me, because I and the Father are one. When you've seen me, it's as if you've seen the Father. When you've heard me, it's as if you've heard the Father. He would continue to try to encourage them. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus, when he came on earth, cast a very wide net. Peter reminds us, he says, Jesus came while we were yet sinners. He died for those of us who were sinners. He loves all. He loves all. But the only way to the Father is through him. Not through our own righteousness, not through our own goodness, because our goodness, our righteousness is not enough. It is only the perfect, sinless life sacrificed by Christ that our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father can be restored. And so it begins with faith and trust that who Jesus says he is and what he has done is sufficient for me to live my life. A lot of people have a lot of faith in a lot of things. People have faith in their wealth. They have faith in their health. They have faith in their relationships and their possessions. But we've realized just this past year, in the past couple of months, that our health can change just like that. That the wealth that we put our faith and trust in can quickly disappear just like that. That sometimes even the best human relationships that we try to take care of can also disappear, either through the death of someone or by them willfully walking away from us. And when we place our faith on temporal things and those things disappear, our purpose will be gone. The meaning of our life will be gone. The reason for living and being will be gone. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we trust Him, when we believe that what He has called us to do, how to live, the way that He showed us to live, is the pattern for right living, then we will know how to live today. This will begin a right relationship with our God to accomplish greater things in our life, in our family, in our businesses, in our church, and in all that we do. A right relationship with God begins, requires faith. Secondly, a right relationship with God is strengthened by prayer. How many of you who have been married for 30 plus years can say that you lasted that long because you did not speak to one another? Nobody lasts in any relationship. You don't even have to be married to know this. If we do not communicate to one another, if we do not talk to each other, if we do not learn to listen. Do you know there is such a thing as listening between the lines? Men in the room, this is something that we learn. You don't learn this by reading books. You learn this by having a wife. Because sometimes, most times, a lot of times, it's just the way that we're wired. It's the way that we're created. I'm not saying this is for everyone. I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule. But from what I've understood and from personal experience, men are black and white, right? What you say is pretty much what you mean. But apparently for many women around the world, that's not always the case. Yes, that was a woman's voice that I heard. And men have to learn to read between those mysterious words a lot of times have been spoken. We have to learn to be good sociologists, to study, to be anthropologists, to learn that women, especially our wives, and later on even our daughters, when they say something, may actually mean something else beyond the words. A lot of agreement in the room today. And this takes time to develop. Learning to listen, not just to speak, but to listen, takes time. Prayer is not just about us telling God what we want, telling God what we need, giving Him a list of to-dos. No, prayer also requires us listening to God speak to us. Prayer is communication. When we learn to pray the way Jesus showed us by example and taught us, it is there that we grow deeper in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The problem is some of us actually don't even pray. Yesterday, we ended our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And in the last 21 days, we have heard amazing miracles of how God has provided hundreds of thousands of pesos to cover debt. How He has provided new jobs, new opportunities, so needs are met. We've heard how healing has taken place. We've heard how relationships are starting to be restored because people trusted in God in prayer, sought the Scripture, and realized there were things that they needed to change by listening to what God has been saying to them. That takes time. Jesus states here in John 14 and verse 15, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He was talking about prayer. Physically, Jesus was still there, so the disciples were probably thinking to themselves, what is He talking about? Ask the Father, He's here. But the moment Jesus was no longer physically present, then they understood. That's what Jesus meant. Oh, that's what He said. We're supposed to come to the Father in Jesus' name. It is only through Jesus that we're able to appeal our Heavenly Father, our situations, our struggles, our difficulties. And as we do this, our God hears us because of Jesus Christ. How are you approaching God today? Do you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus? Unless we come to our Father through Jesus Christ, it's almost impossible for us to hear what God would want us to know, understand His will and His purpose for us. It takes time. And the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Can I say that again? The best way to learn how to pray is to pray. If you want to learn how to ride a bicycle, don't watch YouTube videos. Don't read the books. Buy a bicycle or borrow a bicycle and ride it. Pastor Sam just bought a new bicycle. You can borrow his. Learn how to ride a bicycle. By riding it. That's how you learn. How do you learn how to pray? By praying. By praying. There was a great prophet in the Old Testament. He was a prophet who heralded the first king of Israel. His name was Samuel. A prophet is somebody who clearly hears the voice of God and is able to deliver and to convey God's message, to hear it, to understand it, and to declare it to those who need to hear it. But he didn't automatically learn that. When he was a young man, he served under a priest named Eli. And as a young boy, he was sleeping in the temple with Eli, and he heard a voice. Samuel heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel. He got up, and he thought it was Eli that was calling him. So he went to the priest. Yes, you called. Eli was probably asleep, and he said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. As he was lying down, a second time, the voice heard. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up again, goes to Eli, and says, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. But then Eli stopped and paused because he thought, wait a minute, I know how God works. God has spoken to me. God has spoken to people in the past. Maybe this is God speaking to Samuel. Samuel, next time you hear your name called, this may be God speaking to you. So pause and ask, here's your servant. Speak, Lord. So he goes back and lays down on the bed. He hears the voice the third time. Samuel, Samuel. And before going to Eli, Samuel pauses and he says, yes, Lord, your servant is here. Speak. From that point on, Samuel learned to listen to the voice of God. If we do not pray, if we do not practice listening to the voice of God through His Word, through the teachings, through messages delivered to us, through personal Bible study, through personal worship, through time alone with God, then it's going to be difficult for us to learn to discern when God is speaking to us in the midst of all the noise around the world. But if we are keenly practicing the discipline of prayer, of scripture study, of personal worship, then when God speaks, we will learn to know His voice in the midst of all the noise. A right relationship with God is strengthened by prayer, and we need to do that today. Finally, a right relationship with God is powered by the Holy Spirit. What powers you today? What powers you? For some of us, it's the good morning greeting of somebody who walks into our life. It's that text message or that scene indication after we said a hello to somebody that we really like. For some of us, we're powered by the coffee that we drink in the morning. Is there anyone out here? Yep. I'm powered by chocolate. That's my power. But all of us have different inspirations. All of us have different things where we feel empowered to do. As people of God, as a church, as a Christian, The power that we need for us to be able to do great things and accomplish greater works is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, I will send a helper to you, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, when Jesus was on earth, he withheld his God ability. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. And in his humanity, he was fully dependent on the Holy Spirit for him to accomplish all the things that he needed to do while he was on earth. He did that as an example for us. He did that so that we could learn, man, that's how it is to live in full dependence to the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was physically no longer present, he told his disciples, before you guys go anywhere else or do anything, wait, because the Holy Spirit will come and empower you so that you could be my effective witnesses wherever you go. Acts 1:8 tells us that. And so when Jesus was physically no longer present, the disciples were not afraid. We're no longer fearful. Why? Because Jesus did what he said he would do. He died, he resurrected, and now he said, there's a promise, there's a comforter, there's a counselor, there's a helper who will help you in all things. And as they worshiped God, as they prayed, as they sought him in Jerusalem that day, the power of the Holy Spirit came, baptized them, empowered them. And from that day onwards, they were never the same. They obeyed the commission of God to make disciples of all nations. They went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And wherever they went, what did they do? They brought the message. Signs, wonders, and miracles accompanied them. The scope and the scale of the works of the disciples grew far beyond Jesus' time when he was here on earth. Until today, that remains our task. That promise continues to be lived out in our life in a 21st century. That same promise that was fulfilled in the first century is being lived out today. It's amazing here at church to hear stories of people being healed miraculously. We pray for the sick because Jesus did this. He said, you will do the works that I do. He prayed for the sick and they got well. We believe that same spirit that enabled people to get well is the same spirit that resides in each of us today. When Peter walked around, their shadow that passed by people who were lame, they were instantly healed. Was that because of them? No, it was because of the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, in the end, what will enable us to accomplish great things and to do great works in our life is intimacy. Can you say that with me? Say intimacy. Intimacy with God, closeness to God that develops faith, prayer, that hosts the presence of God in our life is what will enable us to do great things for Jesus. Intimacy is a word that you use in relationships, usually between a husband and a wife, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, because it speaks of closeness. It speaks of nearness. And with God, this is how much he wants to be near us. In fact, he just doesn't want to be with us on Sundays. He wants to be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He wants to occupy every part of our life so that we could do great things and great works in his name. But the only way for us to do that is by trusting him, communicating with him, fellowshipping with him, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us every moment of our life. If we do this, then we will see what has always happened in the lives of those who have trusted him. Greater works will be produced in our own life, in our families, in our relationships, in our businesses, in our church. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see in my life. I don't want to just coast. I don't want to just wait for next Sunday, because it's not enough. I was speaking with some of you today, and some of you were saying, you know what? I'm glad that we can physically come face to face, because the feeling is different. Yes. But even right now, even if you're at home, you know, the presence of God is closer than that. Even though we're here physically present, the presence of God is sweeter than the presence that we feel right here. As much as I love seeing each one of you in this room, God wants to be so close to us that every waking moment we can't help but say, Lord God, I want you to guide my life. I cannot live a day without you. Because without you, I know my life would be meaningless, without purpose, uneventful, without joy, without peace. But with Jesus at the center, things will change. There are so many things that God is wanting to do in our life and in this season. I'm grateful for the 45 years, but I'm looking for the next 45 and beyond until Jesus returns. Should the Lord not come back yet, we have a mandate. We have a responsibility. ICS Church, God is calling us to manifest His presence wherever we go, to do great works and to do greater works than what He has done. And we know that it is possible as we yield ourselves to Him today. This morning, if you're in the room, that's the challenge. If you're listening at home, wherever you are, that's the challenge as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you right now, those of you here in the room, are you willing to commit that to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, Lord God, yes, I am going to put faith and trust in you to do great things in my life. I'm going to believe in you to do greater works in my family. I'm going to trust in you to reorder my work, my business, my employment, so that greater works can be accomplished for your kingdom there. I'm going to make the difficult choices, Lord. I am willing to make the difficult choice to cut off, to let go, to adjust my life so that your works will be fulfilled in my life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.